Contrary to popular wishes, you don't need pants for the victory dance. And apologies to Louis Bujard, this is episode 2 of season 2 of the Tux Radar podcast. I'm Paul Hudson.
I'm Andrew Gregory.
I'm Mike Saunders.
And I'm Graham Morrison.
And in this episode, we're talking Nokia and Intel merging to make MeeGo while 3.2 is out. We report back on life without the command line and our open ballot question, will you try KDE 4.4? Don't forget, we're publishing news, features and more on tuxradar.com, so bookmark it today. And you can subscribe to our magazine and buy us all shiny stuff like iPads at tinyurl.com/podcastlxf. So the top news story is Nokia and Intel, who previously had the Moblin and MIMO projects, MIMO projects, have merged them together into an equally stupid-sounding name, MeeGo.
It sounds stupid, but it sounds a bit like Amiga, so I like it. It brings back memories.
Makes you think of girlfriends, does it?
Yeah, Spanish girlfriends, yeah.
It sounds. It's the sound of desperation to me. I mean, we're only just getting our heads around Moblin and, you know, barely touched MIMO. So, who knows? And also, where do the two converge exactly? I don't understand that.
Oh, they've got a diagram, and it's quite sad. Because, you know, one of the coolest things I thought about Moblin was Clutter, right? You know, the new GUI woozy toolkit. And that is retained for, quote, application compatibility, quote.
Oh, so it's dropped.
It's dead. They're killing Clutter, it looks like, and replacing it with Qt across the board. Qt across the board as a default UI toolkit, which is unsurprising. That's probably Nokia's number one demand.
And Qt has only just made it to MIMO.
So, yeah, it's a bit of a big change for them, I guess. But sad, too. I like Clutter.
I mean, do any devices other than Nokia's N9X machines use MIMO, MIMO?
No.
So, no, and they're using the GTK MIMO as well. There isn't even a Qt-based MIMO out in the wild yet.
I'm trying to work out exactly what the purpose is then. I mean, Google came out with Android, and now it's on loads of devices. And
yeah, well,
for years we've been talking
60,000
about
a day. something, you know, yeah.
And here we're talking about MIMO. What is it?
But you can see where both Intel and Nokia both don't like Android. Firstly, Intel don't like it because it runs on ARM.
True.
As opposed to Intel CPUs. And Nokia don't like it because it's not Nokia.
Yes.
So together. Now, obviously, MIMO does run on ARM as well, but I'm sure that will silently change in the coming months and years.
Yeah.
So I can see why both of them want Android out. And it happens to coincide with Android being dropped from the Linux kernel. They had all their patches removed recently because no one was maintaining them.
Oh, of course.
Now is a good time to strike.
What is the opposite of synergy? Is there a word for the opposite of synergy?
Because
that's what MeeGo sounds like to me. You know, I can't see the combination of them both making this platform stronger. It's not. It's just not clear for me.
Yeah, I would say the company we work for is the opposite of synergy. But I'm sure our publisher listens to this podcast, so he couldn't possibly say that. Yes, so the two brands were starting to get somewhere, weren't they? Everyone had heard of Moblin a little bit.
Yes.
I kept Moblin on my netbook. You know, I quite liked it.
Well, I've been impressed by Clutter as well.
What's going to happen to the our fantastic Python and Clutter coding tutorials? Will they be merged into some Nokia
thing? I don't
know.
Intel. I demand some money from them as recompense for them wasting our time.
Yeah, that's true. Because Intel were pleased with that, weren't they?
Yeah, well, it's a great series.
Yeah,
you can really do some cool stuff. And you know, I spent ages writing an online tutorial in C for Clutter. I've just ported Brain Party to Clutter. You git. You time wasters. You just.
That was because you couldn't sleep, though, Paul.
What's going to happen to all the corporate sponsorship that we get?
Yeah, for Microsoft.
Yeah.
Don't know.
So, I don't know. It's too early to say, isn't it?
Your potential, our passion.
I'm a PC.
And it uses RPM. Did you see that?
What, the new MeeGo?
MeeGo will use RPM. Thanks, guys.
Okay.
But RPM's not as good as...
Correct, yeah.
It's well, Slackware Tarballs.
They haven't chosen it for technical reasons. I'm sure they've chosen it because they just can't bother changing around whatever Nokia's chosen.
It's depressing.
It is depressing. And it's not going to solve the core problem of Linux on mobile phones, which is our current business plan is just release software and hope people make the right hardware using any random screen resolution, any random CPU. And I think MS recently realized this and released Windows 7 TM, Your Potential, Our Passion. Now, which says quite forcefully, this is the screen resolution, this is the CPU you must have, RAM you must have.
Hardware buttons.
Android, you know, Google's making its own phone now. And of course, Apple's iPhone has a very specific set of user interface stuff, and we don't. So I think we're going to struggle getting the right hardware, no matter what they call it, how stupid it'll be. Moblin, Mimo, Migo, well, I don't know, Mimo. It's all the same. It's just a different brand name with Clutter being dropped. Boo-hoo.
I think it actually highlights one of the problems with Linux, and that it's two of the biggest sponsors of open source of development is the fact that they can't clearly see what the way forward is.
Well, let's not be so negative already. We only see what sort of comments happen for about 35 minutes in.
You're right.
Moving on, OpenOffice.org 3.2 is here, and it's fast.
It's faster. It's 46% faster to cold start since 3.0.
Really? Yep. Seems a lot.
Yeah, which has been historically the biggest complaint about OpenOffice, that it's really, really awful.
But wasn't historically the biggest response to that complaint. It's nothing to do with us. It's a Linux kernel or Glibc.
Or Glibc or GCC.
Or everyone else but us. Or
RAM is cheap these days. Post-fix. Why do you only have 1 gig?
Yeah. Or your bias something.
How did mysteriously they save suddenly half the start time?
Well, I looked at some of the code diffs and they removed the sleep 15 from the startup bash script, so that helps a lot as well. And they've taken out all those Easter eggs, including full Wolfram alpha engines and N64 emulators. So.
And there is a big Oracle logo on the site now on every page at the bottom. On the open office.
Is that what makes it quicker?
Yeah. Sun.
Well, I'll have to give it. It only came out a few days ago, but I'm going to have to give it a go and see if there's that Oracle logo on the splash screen, because it used to say build contributed by Sun Microsystems.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And now it's build contributed by Larry Ellison or something like that.
Is Java dropped?
Didn't he just win a sailing cup, the American Cup?
Did he? He's always messing around on boats, isn't he? Well, I've got to hand it to the guy.
He's a rich, rich man and likes spending it. But apparently, it took 9 months to release this thing.
It's been a while since 3.1.
It was, it was May last
year. There's better ODF compatibility than usual after mini features.
Usual, let's invent some check marks to make the sound more and just a quick rush out. But Firefox has got the right idea, isn't it? Firefox is releasing 3.5, 3.6. They're throwing them out now, which is good. Seeing more updates.
Well, I'm still waiting for the big marketing push for OpenOffice. You go to the website and it looks like a half developer's playground, and then something that used to be on GeoCities, whereas with Mozilla they've got their geeky developer pages and then they've got the pages that sell Firefox. Check out this amazing browser, this is awesome, this is cool. You go to OpenOffice.org, you want to tell people, look, you could save £300 here instead of buying this big office suite from Microsoft.
We do rather like the way Mozilla puts porn links on its front page.
That certainly brings in the hits as
you
well.
You saw it touch with our first guys.
I'm finding it very difficult to get excited about OpenOffice.org releases.
Well, there isn't much to say. Well, 3.3 apparently is where the new UI changes come in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are they aping the ribbon?
So we can alienate some more users.
They are taking ideas from the ribbon.
Right.
Because the ribbon hasn't gone away. Everyone thought it failed dramatically. And that OO would just win because it looks like the old version. But that hasn't happened. People quite like the ribbon, it turns out, because it's actually a good idea.
It must be tough for them.
Is this the huge number of clickable things and windows?
It's task-sensitive menu bars and toolbars, basically. So it only shows the buttons you're likely to be interested in right now.
Okay.
So if you're not drawing a picture, the drawy stuff isn't hidden. It's just hidden away. If it edits text, bold's quite large, italic's quite large, and stuff like that. I saw a mock-up of the 3.3 design, and sadly, awfully, scarily, it's done in Java.
More use of Java in OpenOffice.
More inexplicable use of slow stuff in OpenOffice.org. You have to thank it.
Huge virtual machine loading up so you can draw a bloody circle, a flipping circle.
But it might just be a mock-up, so there's hope yet.
Just like OpenOffice is in fact a mock-up.
How obvious it should be. And it's interesting because, just touching on it briefly, UNR, Ubuntu Netbook Edition, did drop OpenOffice.org recently and say we're switching to Google Apps. And then after a user outcry, which is quite sad, really, they put it back in again.
Why don't they just switch to Abbey Word and GNU Merrick? Those apps are miles better.
Gentlemen, why don't you switch to Abbey Word and GNU Merrick?
We want
to miles
know.
Better. We say you should do it.
They're miles lighter, miles faster. They're miles better suited for netbooks. They're not as powerful as OpenOffice as a whole, but...
Yeah, I think you mean kilometers, don't you, really? Because you're on the left. Let's go on the progressive. Yes, the faster, lighter, better, so why don't they use it?
So this was this was because of the outcry then, was it? People saying, oh, you're using evil proprietary Google
Well, yeah,
web software.
Google Apps, to be fair, it does a little bit annoying, isn't it, for everything. I don't really use it for very much. Mm. I wouldn't use it for writing stuff, that's for sure.
And we're still not quite at the stage where you want perpetual internet access. No. Yeah, I know there's Google Gears, I know you can run a lot of these things offline, but they're still...
Oriented. Especially with a netbook when you're on the train.
Yeah.
It's just not worth it.
Well, exactly, you're more likely to be travelling with it, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. And then the tab doesn't work in Google Docs. And there's all kinds of other reasons why it isn't a good idea. So
don't be sad, Graham. There are good things in this world. Graham looks really sad today.
And just to finish off, to let you know, OgCamp 10 is taking place this year in May 1st and 2nd in Liverpool. You can go to ogcamp.org to find out more. We are the media sponsors. I may even force Mike to go.
Wow, excellent.
Liverpool, and check it out.
The north, eh? I could go to the north.
Say hello to all of us.
Can I take my MP3s?
As long as you take a tent.
You dare us. Yep, it's user generated feedback time. It's not really, is it? Last podcast we dared ourselves.
Yeah,
we made it up.
We dared ourselves to not use the command line for a full 2 weeks.
We're so hard.
Yeah. This sort of follows on from our command line only that we tried.
Disaster, which is still plaguing me. Yesterday I had another person say, "Hi Paul, how's it going?" Who are you? Leave me alone.
That's when it messed up your Google contacts, wasn't it? Yeah.
God.
Well, hopefully we've all had much more success this time around.
Well, it's much easier.
Yeah.
It is a lot easier, isn't it? Because I failed miserably.
I failed as well.
I failed too.
And same here.
What's the next section?
How was your failure, Graham?
Well, I failed on two counts. Firstly, I kept forgetting, because I've got a KD thing called Yakwake that comes down when I press F12.
Is that a little con?
Yeah, I press F12 and I type LS or move or remove, and I do that all the time. So I kept forgetting and doing that. But more importantly, I updated to KDE 4.4 and it messed up my configuration and crashed X. So I was actually left back at the console. And what do you do then?
You use GPM, that little mouse thing, to paste start X.
Well, yes, but the mouse wasn't working. It was right back at a normal console.
Could you have booted from a live CD?
How do I... I could have... I don't think ACPI power management is working, so I couldn't press the power button to turn it off. So I really was stuck. Yeah, I could have pulled the plug out.
Instead, you used the command line.
And then, but then I'd have been back at the command line, so I had to use it then. So that actually highlights a point where sometimes you just can't avoid it, which is a bit sad in the second decade of the 21st century.
Well, you could have avoided it by not installing KDE 4.4.
Well, yeah.
I've not installed KDE 4.4, and I've never
had the problems. Coincidence? I think not.
So apart from that, yeah, I kept forgetting, but yeah, we all know that there are ways around doing almost everything. Except for I've also got a server that only has a command line interface to it. But I guess that didn't really count as I was at home.
There were some things that I couldn't imagine doing in any kind of GUI fashion. I mean, you know, I do stuff with log files on the server, parsing them and running regular expressions on them to pick things out. I don't know if there's a GUI tool to even do anything like that.
Yeah.
Anyone wants to use one.
So it sounds like on a scale of lame to egregious, your failure is you know, really, really bad.
I got
you
mixed up. I thought we had to only use the command line.
You failed up to 11.
You don't know whether there are graphical tools to do it.
You don't know, Prime Minister.
Could you have just had a look?
But there aren't.
Oh, so you do know now.
I can't see how it's possible to make a graphical tool to put together, string together loads of regular expressions.
I think
like
you're
that.
Making lame excuses. We've got Term Builder for...
Yeah. Yeah, but you know,
you should have made one rather than use the command line.
I'll probably have to use the command line to make one though, to build it. But there are certain things I do that there are no tools, as far as I'm aware, that can do text manipulation and file operations matching certain file patterns. You know, I mean, Graham, you use KDE's super fantastic file manager, but can you do stuff like, you know, give me the first 10 files between 10 and 15 megabytes and with the begin that have the letter C in them, stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you probably could actually.
Term Builder can do all that.
Really?
Yep.
But I still have to paste it into a command line somewhere, wouldn't
I? No, you paste it into a gedit file and save it and mark it as executable.
You never see the output then. But that's the problem. I haven't found a file manager that is capable enough of...
Well, the thing is, normally it would take a lot longer to do it through a file manager, wouldn't it? I think, I can't remember what it's called, but the KDE 4.4 new search tool, which is a generic search tool, it uses Find or Locate or whatever you happen to have installed.
Oh, right.
I think it has most of those options. I'm not sure about regular expressions, but it certainly lets you search by file name and size.
Because, I mean, using the file command, you can use the magic header of files, so you can say, I want anything that's actually a JPEG, and that's impossible to do. Really, in a file manager.
Yeah, and this, I can't remember what it's called. I'll have to beep it in, but yeah, it does that too. You can do it by file type, simply because it's just a front end to find, really.
Right.
Or locate.
Mm. Shock horror, it seems that the command line is quite useful.
Yeah, the command line, yeah.
You failed as well, Paul.
I failed as well, Andrew. But it wasn't so bad. I was doing pretty good for the first week. By not using Subversion. That's my main command line, to use a Subversion. Checking in my code. After a week, I'd made, 3,000 or 4,000 lines of new code, edits and stuff, and I realized I would rather feel slightly guilty about failing than lose all my work. So I used Subversion.
There would have been ways around it, though. I mean,
there are stack loads of Subversion clients. There are stack loads of Subversion clients. There's one in MonoDevelop, which runs it just fine. Eclipse has an amazing Subversion
system. Yeah.
I've just never used it.
But it's really just a script, isn't it? You just need to check in the changes automatically with a key combo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is. I've just never learned them. So I just do it the way I've always done it because I'm lazy. But also, I think, we talked about this previously off air. You do find you do crazy things like launching a terminal, typing Synaptic into the terminal because it's actually faster than it is going picking up your mouse and moving it to the menu and choosing stuff.
I have in XFCE, I have Control Alt and T mapped to a terminal, so I just hit that key chord whenever I want to do anything. If I just want to rename a file, just hit them instead of going through a menu, locating a file manager, finding the file.
Yeah,
it takes so much longer to do it.
Key chord.
It
sounds like a F#7.
Probably.
And you failed?
I failed because I showed someone what a man page was. So I opened the terminal and entered man ls.
You could do that in Conqueror,
can you? It does in Conqueror. Like,
you can do it in Conqueror, but I don't use KDE.
That was the time to switch.
You should have switched just to...
Oh dear, never mind.
So we failed. Is it worth doing any more? It actually sucked.
I think we should. I mean, that seemed really easy, but we failed. So maybe we'll have more luck with something that on the face of it is harder.
Give me an example. Wow.
Well, why don't we try and build our own distro?
Wasn't that one of the suggestions on TouchRadar?
It was, actually.
Wow.
That's a great suggestion, whoever suggested it. Sorry.
That guy.
Sorry for not giving you a proper shout-out. But it was suggested that we build our own distro using SUSE Studio. And use that for a couple of weeks, and see whose is the best.
How do we judge whose is best then?
Ooh, well, good question.
With our 10,000 eager listeners.
Okay.
Oh
so,
yeah.
Well, we tell them what we've done. So I say I've got.
So if we all make one of SUSE Studio, release it online as a BitTorrent, ask everyone to try it out and rate them.
Okay.
Vote for your best. Obviously, the only downside is that no matter what we do, it's still SUSE. But that's
so it still uses
Yast. We have to use SUSE. You can't spin
you can't
off
knock
and
us down for that.
Ubuntu or something else. Yeah, so, yeah, agreed?
Sweet.
We all make our own distro, Andrix, MyKix, GrayMix, whatever I call mine, and come back in 2 weeks.
Okay, cool.
Cool.
Hey!
And with such happy accord, we come to the halfway point of our podcast. Still to come, the discovery of the week. In the hot seat section, new from last week, and our open ballot, will you be trying KDE 4.4? And Graham, what do you have to say right now?
Oh yes, I'm just about to get stuck into writing a feature for Linux Format Magazine. And
best magazine in the world.
We've got high hopes for this feature, because what we want to do is we want to crack the Linux nutshell. We want to explain how it works in a high level, in a way that most people will understand, so that it doesn't appear scary anymore, and that you understand simply what's going on in the background on your desktop, or what some of the files and folders are on your system, and what some of the weird permissions mean, or what does Upstart do?
This people are switching from a magazine to a book.
Yeah, you're
just
right.
Just on Pulse Audio.
Well, I mean, we sketched out a few ideas yesterday, and it's like 20 or 30 of them. But anyway, what we'd really like is some ideas, some feedback. What would you like to see? What is it that you find incomprehensible? And we'll try and demystify it. We'll try and crack it open, make it as easy to understand as possible. So leave a comment in the podcast notes, and I'll try my best to include it in the feature.
Hang on, does that mean that you won't make a start on the feature for the next 2 weeks while people make comments?
Like normal then, really. Oh, no, I'll incorporate them in the very last minute. So, but no, yeah, okay, the next few days would be best if you want to see your ideas incorporated.
Yeah.
All right, it's me again.
Hi, Graham.
Hi, Graham.
Hey.
My very favourite part of the podcast. I think I found something about 7 minutes before we started.
So, discovery of the seven minutes.
After 2 weeks, and I've done a lot of Linux over the last 2 weeks. I really should make notes when I discover something. But yes, it's discovery of the fortnight. I'll try and build up some anticipation for my fantastic KDE based line.
Is it KDE 4.4?
Who shall I start with? Shall I use our dial on? No, I'll leave that for later. Okay. And Paul, have you got how many have you got?
I've got two. and so one's normal. One is an excellent online tool called Sketchpad. This is very, very cool. It is, believe it or not, a HTML5 drawing app that uses the canvas element in HTML5. So you can paint, you can crop, you can fill, you can add text and shapes, you can stamp stuff, you can erase stuff, you can copy colors, you can create masks in all different kinds of shapes and more. You can do all sorts. And it all works through your web browser.
Can you save files from this?
When you save files, it's the coolest thing. It takes a canvas element, calculates the base 64 of that entire ping, and redirects you to that URL. So your browser just shows it as a picture. On its own.
There's no
server-side saving required. It just saves it. So you just drag it off your browzer into the desktop.
I guess, of course, if there was any problem with that, you could just hit print screen as well.
Yeah, you could just hit a picture, yeah. But it works really, really well. It's so fast.
Sketchpad.
Yeah,
so
Sketchpad.
What, you need a reasonably new browser for this. All those IE6 users have been a stomper.
Yeah, all IE6 are done for. But, you know, your Firefoxes, your Safari, WebKit, Chrome people are all fine. They'll all work. My second one. It's very interesting. I don't know how I discovered this, but it was a while ago. It is the word Dachshund.
Dachshund.
It means badger dog.
Badger dog.
Badger dog.
Yeah. So it could also mean roof dog, because Dach is roof in German as well. But clearly it means badger dog.
It means badger dog.
Roof and badger are the same word.
Dach. Yeah, Dach is roof in German.
Now you know. That's two discoveries for the price of one.
There Sweet. Must be a connection. I'll have to look it up.
No, I've no idea.
is there a connection between badgers and dogs that I'm missing?
Well, no, as in it hunts down badgers and
Yeah,
those scary dachshunds.
I'm thinking of some badger-dog crossbreed.
Yeah, I reckon, you know, it goes down the little badger hole because right. It's quite long.
Right, so, Mike, have you got a discovery?
I have. And it's unbelievable.
This is what I like about you, Mike.
Is it
so
magical?
Optimistic.
It's magical. It's revolutionary. And I was hunting around for some games to put on the Linux format cover disk, as I do every month. And I found this game called Viking. And I thought, right, how am I going to install it? Got to try it out. Which dependencies, repositories, how do I find it? And it said, to install it on Ubuntu, just type apt:Viking, that was the name of the game, in Firefox. And it installed it. It popped up a window saying, do you want to launch GDebi or whatever?
Yeah,
and it just all did it.
It
used apt-get in the background. But
Brilliant.
It was so simple. Because normally, you know, writing a tutorial, you have to say, oh, open up the command line, enter sudo apt-get, blah, or click here, X, Y, and Z, and open Synaptic and type in this.
Yeah.
This is fantastic. This is absolutely brilliant.
That is really good.
I'd love to see it rolled out across other distros. And of course, some distros use RPM, some use deb, Slackware uses TGZ. So you could have, like, you know, app:. Thing.
Yeah,
if you want AbbeyWord,
yeah.
just type app:AbbeyWord in your browser, and it comes up. That's the future.
I have seen it with a few of the PPA packages that
they
often include instructions and use that URL format. But you're right. I mean, it's something you've banged on about for years.
Simplicity of package installation. Yeah, it doesn't solve all the problems of dependencies and the like, but it makes it pretty seamless.
Yeah, yeah. That's really good. And is Viking any good?
Oh, I don't know.
I wonder what it's like. I mean, can you just, you know, block, mash someone with loads of JavaScript stuff, you know, on click, app this, on load, app that.
Well, to force people to download
KDE, and it just destroys their boot splash like it's done
denial
to mine.
Denial of service.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, you still have to click OK. You still have to show that you're accepting what it's doing. And of course, you can't, as far as I'm aware, just point people at random repositories. That says get it from using your distro.
Yeah, it has to. Has the, yeah, it already yeah, has to be in.
You can't just tell people to install some random Trojan. But it's great. So more of that sort of stuff, I say.
Cool. Well, I'll tell you mine while Andrew
thinks.
Picks his discovery from the floor. Mine, after installing KDE 4.4, I was looking around for the coolest new thing that I could talk about. And there are lots of nice features, and it's apart from the fact it broke my computer. And when I got back to the desktop, I had two lower panels, two of every plasmoid that I had on my desktop. But there is a new plasmoid, which now seem to be called desktop widgets, which I don't know why they just didn't bother calling them in the first place, because that's what they are. And this one is very similar to one you find in OS X, and it's called Web Slice. And it lets you have a piece of a web page on your desktop within a widget. So it could be the news headlines from the BBC, or it could be any other part that you like. It's quite clever. It uses WebKit, so it's actually better rendering than you currently get in Conqueror. And it's a little bit tricky to set up, and in fact, it doesn't work in Kubuntu if you use the PPA packages. It's pretty unfriendly. You have to type in the URL manually, and you have to scour through the source code to find the CSS element that you want to actually include in the widget. But after you get that round that problem, it does what it says, and it's a nice widget, and that's my discovery.
So it doesn't use the same rendering engine as Conqueror?
No. Conqueror still uses HTML.
Redundant.
Well, the Conqueror's become really redundant, yeah. I don't know why they haven't bothered updating it. But I used to use Conqueror, I don't use it anymore.
Chrome.
So, yeah, Web Slice is nice if they could just update the GUI so you could just drag a square across a piece of web page and that's it. I think, have you got one, Andrew, or should we just move on to the next thing?
Well, no, I can...
It doesn't matter, you know.
I can just say some words just to fill up a bit of space, if you want.
Well, have you,
What's your favourite type of pasta?
My favourite type of pasta is my new phone.
Your new phone is a pasta.
Look, microphone, look at it.
Wow, it's not an iPhone.
It's Nokia, isn't it?
It's Nokia, yeah, and it runs Symbian, which has recently been open sourced.
Yes.
So I have no excuse for not coding loads of really cool and lucrative applications for it.
This means you've got an open source phone.
I've got an open source phone. Wow. I'm more open source and therefore cooler and better than anyone else in this room.
Oh dear.
Yes, you're right.
I must install Herd on
but
my
I'm
iPhone.
Not, but I'm not cool because I don't have an iPhone. So that's the payoff.
You look the coolest, though. You know, that pink cardigan is very nice.
I'm going for the Kanye look.
I really think, listeners are thinking, he's not really wearing a pink cardigan. What is yanking their chain?
Waving the pink cardigan.
Go on, rub up against the microphone. Yes, there's your pink cardi
Can
sound.
You hear the pinkness?
Are you wearing that cardigan on the cover of the next issue of Linux Format magazine?
It's a blue cardigan I'm wearing on the cover of the next issue.
Wow. That's spoiled our awesome picture and caption competition now, hasn't it, really, quite frankly?
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Well organised, Graham. Good section.
Cheers, Graham.
Yeah, great as always.
Only a few tangents. And now on to our vaguely new section in the hot seat. This time it's Andrew Gregory, our resident Linux non-expert, taking part in the 1 minute talkathon, where the idea is to spin our wheel of ideas and see what it falls on. This time it has some user suggestions. See if we put them up there.
Oh yeah.
And
on the wheel.
There's some new ideas along with the hard ones.
What does that one say? Synaptic.
Really read it. Sorry, who wrote that?
Oh, sorry, I put that one up there. That's the decline of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Okay,
so there's
give myself a chance.
There's our old ones on there, KDE and GNOME and other things on there, org, and as in one of our suggestions from readers, as GNU slash and other stuff. We're going to spin the wheel and obviously hope for Andrew's sake it doesn't land on Grub and see what it comes up with. So let's spin the wheel.
Let's go.
Okay.
Ooh, come on, the feathers are coming off.
Is it Grub? It's Grub. No.
It's GNU slash.
GNU slash.
With an emphasis on the slash, it says.
Wow.
Richard Stallman.
Well, take from that whatever you think it means. And you've got 1 minute. I will time you and wave frantically when you have 10 seconds left to go. Anyway, are you ready? GNU slash, you remember GNU? Are you ready?
I am ready.
Let's do it. Go.
GNU slash Linux. There's an ongoing naming controversy. Although it's not really a controversy because it's unilateral. It's those blowhards at the Free Software Foundation making a noise because we're not giving their operating system their work, which they very kindly and graciously contributed to us. We're not giving them due credit, but when we say Linux, when we talk about the Linux operating system, we should really be saying GNU slash Linux. To recognise the fact that Linux is really only a very, very tiny part of what we call a distro or Ubuntu or Debian or whatever. The real work has been put in by the GNU people, because the GNU's not Unix folks. GCC and GNOME and Glibc and all those are the things that, you know, end users really care about. Oh, gosh. but this just seems silly. This is like those UKIP people saying that, you know, have whatever many percent of our laws are made by the European Union. But the EU doesn't try and overwrite the Murder Act. They're concerned with silly, trivial things like the length of bananas.
Your time is up.
Well done. That was very good. I don't feel like I actually said anything, though.
No, it's clever, that. That's amazing. You should work in a magazine. yeah, I think you could have talked for 5 minutes there. So please do send in more suggestions next time. Who would like to do it, me or you, Graham?
I don't mind.
Then you. I do mind, so it's you. So if you want to give Graham something ridiculously hard to talk about, please write your suggestions in.
Not KDE. Not KDE. So, it's now OB, as they call it, or the Open Ballot. And we asked readers, will you take KDE 4.4 for a spin? The KDE 4.4 software compilation, or is it collection, Graham? What's the name?
No, you've asked me this before, and I have no idea.
Well,
but they've recently changed the name, haven't they, to avoid ambiguity?
Yes, yes.
Because nobody knew what it was before. Some people thought it was, you know, some sort of stoat, and now it's clearly a software compilation. So, yeah. So, anyway, KDE 4.4 is here, and... you know, we're a long way from 4.0 now, and we want to know, are people willing? Have people been hurt too much by the problems of 4.0? So first, let's have a think. What does the team think? Graham, are you running? You are running it.
I'm sick of being the KD advocate. Why does it always come down to me? Why do I have to be the only person defending KD?
Because you're the only person who uses KD here.
Who likes it?
It's a crap update. It really is. It adds a few things, but really, why on earth are they still changing fundamental things about the desktop environment years after the first release? It's stupid.
Like what have they changed?
They keep changing things around. You know, they keep moving... adding activities and an emphasis on this or the other, or the fact that the Nepomuk semantic desktop is now an integral part of the desktop. You know, all of these things should have been sorted out years ago. I do use KDE. I do find it marginally the best desktop, but I really don't understand what's going on.
Well, you're not a very good KDE advocate.
No, not anymore. I've had enough. I resign.
Are you going to stop using it?
Sorry, I'm turn now.
That means it's squeaky toys to defend KDE.
I agree. Well... Kenneth C.T. Franson said, you have to realise that KDE is not 4.0 anymore. It has just worked for the last couple of releases. There you go, Graham. He says, version 4.3 was very solid, and 4.4 adds cool features that makes your computer outshine Windows 7 and Mac OS X with
combined.
Ease.
That whole command line terror you had in between installing KDE 4.4, that was your fault?
It was my fault for using PPA packages, yeah. I should have compiled it myself.
Somebody who calls himself Nobody Important says, KDE3 was the absolute antithesis to my computing philosophy. It had more knobs and widgets and kazoo holes than I could ever count. I tried KDE4 and was struck by the same objections in a lesser fashion. So he's not a fan.
Well, they haven't implemented 1,400 new feature requests in the KDE SE 4.4. 1,400. Wow.
I mean... That addles my brain.
That's either 1,400 happy new people or one person who's wrote a lot of feature enhancement requests.
Well, Fools, with a Z, says, I think that by the time 4.5 or 4.6 come out, all the translation from 3.5 will be complete. So we, this, when, I mean, when it gets to 4.6, really, are we going to say, oh, by 4.8 and 4.9, it'll all be
it's gone
ready.
Beyond
the translation
joke.
Or transition?
He said translation, but I presume he means transition.
Are they working
yeah.
on Klingon still or something?
It has gone beyond a joke, really. The fact that they're still making significant changes to the way that the desktop works. It's all very well adding small updates, but, you know, this is patching a leaking bucket.
Are you going to try it, Paul?
No.
Okay.
In fact, I think the features are quite lame. Here's a quote. It's been edited slightly. The Social Desktop Initiative brings improvements to the community widget, formerly known as the Social Desktop Widget, allowing users to send messages and find friends right from within the widget.
But
so it's a Twitter client. Good work, lads. Well done.
That sounds horrendous, really. It's a way of marketing this stuff.
But it's right from within the widget.
Well, great. I remember back in 98, Windows trumpeted having web pages on your desktop, and that went nowhere. Flammenwerfer, we've got a lot of German-sounding people here, said, I'm using KDE 4.4 as we speak in
Arch Linux.
I think
you're making them sound German.
That's actually pronounced Dave. Yeah.
Bob says, so I think the KDE team has done a wonderful job of finding the right mix between being customizable yet usable enough to not be too intimidating. So he obviously thinks they've got the balance right.
Now, if only they could stop hitting it with an ugly stick for a little while.
Are you, Andrew, yes, no, KDE 4.4? Is it good? Is it whack?
I can't, there's no word.
Have you got a noise that you can make?
If there were a word, would it be positive?
That's the official noise of KDE 4.4.
KDE 3.0 was alright.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just as good as GNOME. I just happened to choose GNOME.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I feel the same way.
It was fine.
But 3.5 didn't have cool names like Kaikaku. You morons!
Well,
this is difficult for you, isn't it, Mike? I'm really sorry.
Mike Ironfist says this. KDE 4.4 is simply a stable, bug-free, ...unusable mess. He says, honestly, even if it runs properly, even if it's stable and crash-free, it's terrible. There are dozens upon dozens of menu options for things that users wouldn't even think of wanting to customize. And frankly, it's just annoying and cluttered. And personally, that reflects a lot of my experience as well. I do try KDE periodically every few months, and 4.3 seemed to be pretty reliable, and it has everything there, but it's just far too much in my face all the time.
It's just a lot of noise, isn't it?
I mean, yeah.
In comparison to GNOME, which I have to say has found a kind of a very peaceful, tranquil, usable desktop space, you know, KDE is just like floundering in every possible direction to try and introduce what they call innovation, but it doesn't actually make anything more usable or effective.
Do you think there's a lack of leadership in the KDE project? Somebody to say, this is what we're going to do, it's going to be like this.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, actually. I think there are probably too many cooks.
There
are a lot of people who have a big say in what's implemented, and there's a lot of loud, noisy voices in the team.
But it's the fact that they've implemented 1,400 feature requests, they didn't have to do that. And I know that adding features, adding stuff, they could say, listen, we don't really want to add that because it clutters things up. They seem to think that every feature they add is a good thing.
Yeah.
One more to the list, it's good, good, good.
They like it's almost burying their heads in the sand because they like the fact that they've got a great big to-do list. You know, they can spend lots of time working, coordinating people, having conferences, everybody committing things, big active mailing lists without ever actually seeing the big, simple picture of how people want to use their Linux desktop. And it's that kind of vision that maybe they've increasingly lost as Matthias Etterich has taken a lesser role in it. I mean, he has nothing to do with it.
No, he doesn't make any decisions, doesn't give any...
I think it'd be ace if what they could do is... Do you know GNOME Tweaker, use that? It's a GUI that lets you tweak various parts of Nautilus or all this kind of thing from one place. Or is it Ubuntu Tweak? It's the same sort of thing. And they could do that for, I think, most of the KDE settings. So when you install a KDE app, it registers itself with a central settings area. But the actual app itself's got a fairly clean UI by default. You have to tick on add this, add that, add something else, switch to advanced mode, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then you get all these options, you know, configure the toolbar, configure Conqueror, change user agent kind of thing. You know?
Yeah.
By default, it's all kind of hidden away.
There's just, I mean, one of the problems with 4.4, I mean, it's got this nice feature kind of taken from Windows 7, where Windows Snap to the left or right side, or they snap to full screen. Now, I happen to use virtual desktops where the border of the screen switches to the next screen. So now I've got this terrible mess where I don't actually know where to disable it because I can't be bothered to find it. Where if I go to try and maximize a window or move a window to the right-hand border, it maximizes in one half of the screen and switches the desktop.
Wow.
And there are also gestures. There are gestures you can use with your mouse. And I was trying to enable the new... you can drag with the middle mouse button and a KDE application window will then become a tab on any other KDE application window. And I couldn't get it to work because I've mapped a gesture to my middle mouse button. And nowhere can I find where I mapped this gesture to the middle mouse button. It could be in so many different places. I know there's a place where you draw these gestures, but it's not there. And so I'm basically left with the fact that I have to delete .kde in my home directory start again. I think that's how, you know,
I had the same problem when we ran KDE as the challenge in an earlier podcast, that I wanted to set up a key binding, and there were several places
and
I found it hard. I mean, just a few more comments from the from our listeners here. DF says, I started using KDE way back in the day, 10 years ago, but it's just become a mess. A couple of people are saying they'll give it a try, of course. Spiffy Tech says he'll move to it eventually. He's always hesitant to backport major components to his system, so he's going to do it when his distro rolls it out. But another anonymous penguin says it all seems a bit slow and bloated. And
that's it, isn't it?
KDE is cool. Another anonymous penguin says KDE is cool, feature rich, and stable, finally, and with a better composite engine than GNOME's, but sadly, it's too complicated and bloated. So that theme seems a recurring theme here. People respect the KDE technology and respect how it's got every feature under the sun, but people just don't want to use it. A lot of people don't want to use it.
A better composite engine.
Yeah.
It's clutching at straws slightly.
It's got a more yellow taskbar. So, yeah.
A cry for help.
Is this the last version before 3.0 from GNOME? Or is there one more, like 4.5 perhaps might squeak out? Is this what KDE's using to take the battle to GNOME's front?
I don't know. I'd imagine that the next version will come out at the same time as 3.
I think it needs to, really, doesn't it?
I mean, the last one was November or October last year. It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. Well, they fixed 7,000 bugs, which is terrifying.
That's... a lot a day.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge number a day. Fixed these, vast numbers of
bugs. But when you add 30,000 new features every release, then.
That's true, yeah. Gosh, 1,400 features, 7,000 bugs. Let's hope 4.5 is out in time. Mm-hmm. And with that, we come to the end of our podcast, episode 2. Don't forget all the notes.
It's back by popular demand. You know what it is? Do you know what's coming, Graham? Do you know what's coming, Andrew? In the last podcast, I noted that because Steve Jobs doesn't do one more things anymore, then I had to stop because I'm the new Steve Jobs. But so many people wanted it. Yeah, so many people wanted the tip or silly question at the end of it all.
There was a
tear
in my eye.
Was there? Yeah. Really? You're making me well up now. So let me try and go ahead with this.
That makes you better than Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
What, because I've got emotions? Anyway, yes, I am better than Steve Jobs. I was looking around the manual pages the other day, and here's something to know. We all tend to think of manual pages as being to do with commands or config files, but there are actually a lot of manual pages out there that just explain stuff. Try entering man boot, for instance. There's an actual manual page explaining all the boot process from the BIOS through the bootloader, through what the kernel does, loading init, things like that. There's man regex, there's man Unicode, there's just lots of general...
Does that work with your tip from last week, which was the card command? If so, we can just print that for Graham's feature in the magazine, can't we? Card boot card kernel. Yeah.
I don't know how card would work with it, because none of these things have any actual flags. They're just explanations. But if you go into /user/share/man/7, you can have a list of all these different things. And there's a lot of documentation there that's not specific to any command. It's just good Linux documentation.
Wow.
Yep.
And with that astounding revelation, we come to the end of our podcast. Don't forget, all the notes are on the website, including all the links. And we look forward to reading your comments. We do read them all, including the spam and delete them. You can drop us an email if you want to get up close and personal to paul.hudson@futurenet.com. And we will see you in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Bye.